We've learned to forgive others, and we know God forgives us. Why can't we forgive ourselves? Susan Feet is our guest today and has some thoughts on this. Welcome back to Member Care Radio. I'm Scott Hollinger, and with us once again today is Susan Feet. On our previous conversation, you were sharing with us about learning to accept God's forgiveness. And one of the things that I have noticed, non-Christians will say, I am such a bad person, there's no way that God would ever forgive me. And yet, I think that there are times when we as Christians feel the same way, even though we should know better. So let's look at that. Why do we go through that?
Well, we believe that because we feel that way. And how we feel and what is true are not the same thing. But as human beings, we generally think how we feel is what is true. And so we can get locked into that. So if we don't feel forgiven, if we don't feel connected to God, if we don't feel whatever it is that we're looking for, mm-hmm. somehow, then we feel that we're not forgiven, even when we are.
Right.
And this is where knowing what is true and standing on what is true is so vitally important in this whole process. So part of it is we have to look at what is the lie that we're believing. If it isn't true, then it's a lie. So what is the lie? So sometimes the lie is what I've done is so bad that it's sort of beyond God's ability to forgive. And when you stop and think about that, that makes God very small. We're actually calling God a liar because mm-hmm. he says if we ask and if we're repentant, then he promises that he'll forgive us. There's no proviso. There's no, you don't have to do anything. You have to just admit, I've done this wrong thing. And he promises that he'll forgive us. And we also say that our sin is so big that when a pure, sinless Jesus was tortured to death on a cross for the very purpose of paying for that, that was inadequate.
Mm-hmm.
And that our sin is bigger than his purity and his sacrifice. I mean, that is really ultimately what we're saying in our heart. And so we want to be focusing on what is true. Yes, he is pure. He is God. He paid this price. He says it's sufficient. It is sufficient, regardless of how I feel.
One of the more common aspects of our spiritual life when it comes to repentance is we have repented of something, and yet we still have these memories that pop up. Because this is how the enemy loves to torture us sometimes.
Oh, yeah. Just beat you up over stuff, old stuff. The most effective thing I found is I stop and I thank the Lord for his forgiveness. And that does two things. First of all, it reminds me of what is true. I am forgiven. And the enemy just hates it when we engage in the Lord. I mean, he's looking to make some kind of a wedge. He's looking to separate us. And so thankfulness is something that draws me back. Mm-hmm. And it also helps with my feelings about feeling guilty about something. It's like, no, that is forgiven. You know, that has been washed. That has been taken care of. A lot of people will go back and they'll be asking forgiveness over and over again because they're still feeling guilty for it. But the truth is there's no need to ask forgiveness over and over. What he has forgiven, he doesn't remember. He chooses to not remember anymore. If he was here with you and you came and here you are apologizing yet again, he'd say, I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Because he's forgotten it. So keeping that in mind and then using scripture as we referred to about referring what is true to remind us that he has washed us, he's paid the price, that is forgiven. And I think we all can have our own favorite scriptures that help point us back in that direction and what we can bring them to our mind. And then sometimes we need to use spiritual warfare. And scripture and truth is part of spiritual warfare, but there is also using the authority that Christ gave us to command spirits that are bothering us and tormenting us. We do not have to live with that torment. And particularly things like shame and condemnation, particularly if you have grown up with them and they're sort of part of how you were raised and they just seem to be an integral part of you, they're not. But if you've lived with it a long time, these things can be deeply entrenched and need to have spiritual warfare where you command them to leave you in Christ's name and to go where Jesus sends you and be free. And sometimes you have to do that a lot, right. You know, certainly in the beginning. They won't go away and stay away forever, but you get freer and freer as you practice that.
With my own sons, I just don't remember, I guess, the bad things they've done. I'm sure they have. I know they have. Mm-hmm. But as a father, when we have talked about them, maybe discipline has been given, we move on. Mm-hmm. And I literally forget those things that my children have done because it's past. Mm-hmm. And it does not affect my relationship with them now. Mm-hmm. And I guess for me, that's the best picture that I can have, is that even more perfect is how God has forgotten mm-hmm. and forgiven those things that we all have done.
Because most parents don't, particularly when you have a child who, you know, they're doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so it's an ongoing issue over years and years and years. It's hard to not mm-hmm. see the accumulation and that this is still a problem and, you know, and to be bringing up stuff. I think it's very common for parents. And I think this is probably where most people get this idea that God doesn't forgive, because our parents don't, and they keep bringing it up. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you want to forget about it yourself, you're not allowed. You don't get the opportunity.
Well, I guess that leads us to remorse and regret, how easy it is then for us to have remorse and regret. Yeah. These are natural feelings, especially related to that.
I think that when you look at life, and I think for me particularly, you know, mother's guilt, there's no escape from it. And I didn't have it when the kids were growing up. I thought I was doing a pretty good job, you know. But then they get to be adults, and then you see, it's like you see things in their life and you think, yeah, that's the fruit of mistakes that I made. And so there's remorse and there's regret for that. And I don't feel guilty in a sense. I've repented, and I've repented to them. I have confessed them as I have realized things. It's like, yeah, I should have been more patient, or I should have expressed my love better to you in a way that you understood, or different things like that. Those feelings are heavy. And the one thing that I found that helps me with that is that I will go to the Lord and I will say, Lord, I need you to redeem this in their lives. I can't go back. I can't undo it. I cannot fix it. I need you to come and make something good out of it. And only you can do that. And then trust him that he will redeem that in some way and make a good thing in their life out of it, even though I cannot possibly conceive how. He is big enough and good enough and wise enough and powerful enough to do that. One example I think about, he's very good at cleaning up our messes. I was thinking about that, and what came to my mind was there was an oil tanker called the Exxon Valdez, and in 1989, it ran aground up in Alaska in this pristine bay, and it spilled millions of gallons of crude oil, which covered the surface, washed up on the shore. It covered animals, birds and otters and all kinds of animals. It was a huge disaster. And I remember the ecologists and scientists saying, you know, this would probably never be the same, and it would not see significant progress for 100 years. And what was interesting is in 3 years, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Agency, they monitor and collect data, and they were up there and they were checking the progress, and they were just amazed, because as they did analysis, what they found was the human efforts got cleaned up about 11% of the oil, and then some of it was fertilized into the atmosphere and some of it was fertilized in the water, and 70% of the oil was actually cleaned up naturally. It biodegraded, which they did not anticipate. They discovered microorganisms that actually eat crude oil, which they did not know about before. And so in a mere 3 years, there was this tremendous improvement. You know, as human beings, they did all they could do. And then God came in and cleaned up, and is cleaning up, because obviously we're now a whole another 20 years beyond that point. And the wildlife and everything continues to improve. So that to me was a picture. If God can clean up that kind of physical mess, which we could not see the possibility of, how much more is he able to clean up, you know, the spiritual and emotional messes that we make, which we can't fix?
Well, Susan, one of the things we all need to realize is that God does not take sin lightly, not at all. But when we ask repentance, he does have great mercy, doesn't he?
Yes, he does. And part of this forgiving ourselves process is we have to give ourselves room to make mistakes and to learn along the road to maturity. We're never going to arrive. We're always going to be in that process. And that's what a good parent does for a child. They give them room for mistakes and give them room to mature and understanding of where they are. And our Heavenly Father is the perfect father. He's certainly a good parent. So that's part of what we have to do. And then there are things that we are going to have to come to Him over and over and over again. They're an ongoing sin, difficulty, problem in our lives. Mm-hmm. And we are going to be in process our whole life for that. And so we have to remember that when we're back for the 100th time for this thing, that to Him, it's the first time. It is always the first time when we have repented. And so He doesn't get weary of it. We get tired of it. We would like to be done, but He doesn't get impatient or tired of us in that process. I like something in the book, Anne of Green Gables, Anne Shirley, the character. She was always getting in trouble. And she was a good girl, but people would hurt her and she would get back at them. This one boy called her Carrot Top. She hated her red hair and she broke her slate over the top of his head. And then sometimes she was foolish. She went to walk on the ridge pole. Someone dared her and she did and fell off and she got hurt. So she's always kind of getting in little messes. She was adopted by a woman named Marilla. One time she said to Marilla, she said, "Isn't it nice to think that tomorrow is a new day with no mistakes in it?" And I love that because it reminds me, you know, His mercies are new every morning. They're new. They're fresh. He doesn't run out. You get a fresh start every day. He encourages us, I think, to think that way. This is a new day. You know, I want to walk with You, Lord, in that mm-hmm. and to be encouraged in that. For me, it all is encapsulated in the verse where it's in Psalm 103, where God says, "As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear or reverence Him. For He knows how we're formed, and He remembers that we're dust. And we are doing the best we can."
Right. Susan Feetz is a regular guest on the program, and today she continued her conversation with us on the importance of learning to forgive ourselves.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.